As men, we thrive on competition and tough talk. But as Christian men, we're called to kindness and even tenderness toward our brothers. I'm Brian Patrick. We're continuing our series on Marks of the True Christian, brotherly affection, this time on Crossing the Goal. As we kick off our show on brotherly affection, part of our series on Marks of a True Christian, here's our Crossing the Goal team. From Renewal Ministries, the Vice President, Peter Herbeck. The Founder and President of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin. And our coach, former All-Pro NFL wide receiver and coach, Danny Abramowitz. And coach, it's kind of surprising sometimes that you see this open affection among athletes in a competitive situation.
Yeah, we just finished Genuine Love, and something that dovetails right next to it is brotherly affection. Yeah. And you see it in the NFL, the care and concern. In fact, anyone watched the playoff game, the tight end for the 49ers come off the field. He was so emotional, he was crying, and probably people were asking, well, why was he that way? And the coach hugged him, and they were like hugging. That they've been through so much, and they care for one another. When you're that close together, you really care for one another. Military is the same way. And us as brothers in Christ, we got to get that same sort of bond going.
Sacrifices that they have, that they've made together toward a common goal, a common mission that they've sold out for. And they know, I couldn't get there without this guy. I couldn't get there without my coach or other people. Well, you know, that's what Jesus did in a certain way when he gathered the 12.
Yes.
He taught them how to love, and he taught them about the fight that they were going to be in and how much they needed one another, how much they had to care for one another. And Scripture talks about John the apostle, you know, the one whom Jesus loved, in the image of that apostle laying his head on Jesus' chest and Jesus embracing him. It's amazing to see how much genuine affection is part of what loving one another includes.
Yeah, I'm always struck by the example of Jesus himself. His good friend Lazarus dies, and the shortest verse in the New Testament is Jesus wept. And it's about Lazarus' death. And Jesus knows he's going to raise him from the dead, and yet he's still so moved and has such deep affection for him that he steps into that moment of misery, which all of us know in life, and weeps for his dear friend. That's brotherly affection.
Yeah, and yet affection can be tough for men. It's not seen as real masculine sometimes, but we have a game plan for brotherly affection. Curtis and Peter have that next here on Crossing the Goal.
Welcome back. I'm Curtis Martin. I'm here with Peter Herbeck. And our topic is brotherly affection. But let's set some context because this passage which challenges us to live in brotherly affection is stated in a very particular part in Romans 12.
Yeah, well, it comes after the theme we talked about last week, which was Paul begins the whole section. He says, let your love be genuine. He said, okay, what's genuine love? Genuine love begins with you love what's good, you hate what's evil. There is no genuine love if you don't will for the person you're loving the good. You know, what's best for them, not just what they want, but in God's eyes, what's good. So Paul, we covered that last week. Now Paul takes the next step and he says, now let it be with brotherly affection. And Paul was a very affectionate guy. He's a Middle Eastern guy. You know, he had that whole kind of disposition he describes at the end of 1 Corinthians 16. He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss, an embrace, you know, just a warm embrace together as brothers. And he talks about building on what Jesus did with the 12 apostles, which is gathering together. Well, go ahead.
You make such a great point, and I think we have to step back and say, and I work with college students, and you give us a great deal of help there, Peter, through Focus, but one of the things we come across is whether it's homosexuality or heterosexuality, this issue is actually a real big issue. We need to, first of all, know the truth that we are called to chastity.
Yeah.
Then we can have affection, but when we allow our affection to become sexualized, it breaks chastity all apart. Yeah. So one just real practical example of how these things build on one another.
Yeah.
If you and I are rejoicing in the truth, then we're free to have a brotherly relationship.
Yeah.
I'm also free to have a relationship that's chaste with sisters, but if everything becomes sexualized because we haven't hated evil and rejoiced in good, we're not really free to have brotherly affection.
Right, and Jesus is talking about you know, genuine affection and a healthy affection and a healthy expression of that, mm-hmm. and appropriate sort of expression, obviously. But it's interesting when he gathers the 12, mm-hmm. and what he brought them into was a whole new set of relationships, relating to one another in a new way, in family-type relationships. And he said to, for example, the apostles, you know, to Peter and others, Matthew, the tax collector, comes into this inner circle. And they had to come to terms with the fact, this guy's my brother. Jesus said, he's your brother. He's not your enemy. You know, he's not a comp, you know, you're not in competition with your brother. This is your brother, and I want you to love him as I love him.
And we talked about in Jesus the Messiah, Zapparelli's movie, that great yeah. moment where Peter and Matthew are being called together, and Jesus is telling them the story of the prodigal son and saying, guys, you're brothers. And it's one of the most poignant moments in the entire movie, and really compelling, because we're so tempted in this day and age to get competitive, to think, I only win if I can beat you. No, there are ways in which your victory becomes mine as well. Yeah. If we're real brothers, I rejoice when you rejoice, and I grieve when you grieve.
Yeah, there's a great passage in Acts chapter 20 where Paul is saying goodbye at Ephesus to brothers and sisters that he shepherded, and he knew where he was going. He knew what he was going to suffer. The Lord had already given him prophetic sense about the direction he was moving in. And I love this verse 36. He says, and when he had spoken thus, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept, and they embraced Paul, and they kissed him, sorrowing most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they should not see his face anymore. Firstly, just get the image of these guys in a room, this small little room, and Paul kind of shares his direction where he's going, and they're being moved. He gets down on his knees. They all get down on their knees with him, and it says they embrace him. They gathered around him, and they just said, brother, we love you. We love you. It's so sad. It's so, you know, you've given us so much, and they're able to express that, and Paul's built up by that. He's strengthened by that, and he knows God had done something right there in that body of men that he first reached out to and he first called. He knows he brought them into a band of brothers.
You know, Peter, I think you're showing something that's really pivotal here. I think a lot of times, particularly here in the United States and North America, where brotherly affection is a little bit awkward. Your example of greeting your brother with a kiss is more of a Middle Eastern approach. How do we get there? And I think one of the keys is we have to recognize that we've been called on to mission. And if we're on mission, if we understand that we've been called, then we're going to see a couple things. First, we're going to stumble. The just man sins seven times a day. When I fall, I need you to help me. And the second thing is, we're going to suffer together. I mean, this is when Paul is getting ready to leave these guys, this is a Paul they've watched. He's been beaten. He's been in prison because he loved them and suffered for them. Yeah. And now he's leaving. And they're like, oh, my goodness, I've never had somebody care for me the way you've cared for me. And you're going to leave now? And that's where it comes from. And if we could get to that point, and there's so many places in our culture, whether it's battling for the pro-life cause or defending the innocents or battling against pornography, if we were on mission, radiating as men of God, we'd be suffering together and striving together. Our freedom to be brothers and be affectionate in that would come out.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think also just seeing, it's helpful in this whole series just to remember the kind of person Jesus is. Paul is exhorting us to understand who Jesus is and to live like Jesus. I was thinking of the great passage in John's gospel where Peter, after having denied ever knowing Jesus, Jesus is crucified. Peter's just brokenhearted. He betrayed his best friend. He was so troubled by it and full of sorrow. The first time Jesus sees him, they're out in the boat. They see him. Peter jumps out of the boat because he sees it's Jesus, and he wants to stumble up and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I just blew it. Jesus won't let him say anything. He says, Peter, do you love me? He asked him three times.
Three times.
Do you love me? That's what I want to know, because I love you. And I'm giving you a love. I want you to live in that love. Jesus was full of love, full of affection.
And the beauty of that is after he communicates that love, he calls it an admission. If you love me, then feed my sheep. Brian?
All right, thanks, Curtis and Peter. Coach, I doubt when Peter responded to Jesus when he said, do you love me? He said, yeah, I love you, man. You know, like the beer commercials.
Exactly. Well, Brian, we better give some brotherly attention to these guys in affection, or they might start crying on us.
That's right. We'll give them the real stuff in the red zone next on Crossing the Goal. the Red Zone. We're talking about brotherly affection on Crossing the Goal. And, Coach, you still have some pretty close brothers from your NFL days.
You know, as you look back and start thinking about the bond that you create in some of these relationships, sure. Like in the NFL, take, for instance, I've run into guys in the Rocky Blyer, Emmett Thomas, Mike Ditka, Butkus, Archer, something in the airport. I haven't seen them for years. But as soon as we greet one another, it's sort of a hug. Yeah. Hey, how you been doing? It's like we hadn't been apart. There's something about it when you go to war like that, yeah. That you become close. I think your son's in the military, and he can relate to that. But us as Christian brothers, you know, I belong to a Monday Night Disciples group, and that's why we push these small groups. There's something that occurs, and they're similar. It's difficult. I don't know if it's the NFL is something special too, but the Christian brothers, the affection that yeah. When shared they call experience. Out the shared experience, yeah. That when a brother says, Danny, I need your help, you don't ask any questions. You're there for them. And that's how we are, too. We've created it over the years here now, brotherly affection.
Yeah,
now,
in sometimes good times, it tough
gets,
times.
Sometimes it gets tough
yeah.
over here.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot. If you'd shower, probably he'd
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
make it easier.
Yeah, I was thinking of a story talking a number of years ago, a good friend of mine, who fell and he fell hard. I mean, he just made some decisions in his life, made some bad decisions, and he fell hard. And like all of us, he was ashamed and embarrassed, and he didn't want to tell anybody. And he kept it all to himself. And he really needed help to get out because he was way down. He had done some, you know. And I kind of heard about it. I called him. I said, we got to get together. And I called on a deacon friend of mine. We met at the parish, this room in the parish. And he said, you know, we're not leaving this room until you tell us every single thing that's going on inside you. Every single thing you did in this area and what happened, tell it all from beginning to end. We're not leaving because we want to hear it from you, you know? And he was at first shy. He said, look, we're not going to judge you. We're not going to criticize you. We want you to get this out because we're going to prove to you that we're standing with you no matter what, you know? And he did. And he told the whole story and he just wept and he wept and he wept. And he finally, he just got on his knees. He just fell down and he's wow. bawling. I mean, he's just like convulsing. And we knelt down next to him and just put our hands on him and said, brother, and I wept and my other friend wept and we prayed with him. We were together for a couple of hours and we just embraced him and said, we're not leaving you. And the guy's been totally restored. This is 5-6 years ago and the Lord's blessed his life and he's really got himself on track. But that mattered to him that he had brothers who he could just lay it all on the line, but he needed help for us to say you're not leaving until you tell us the whole story, because get it out.
And know? That's a different that's well a different yeah. view of affection than a lot of people yeah. think. It's not all lovey-dovey.
Yeah,
it's sometimes
yeah.
you just have to face the hard stuff together.
Absolutely.
You know, there's this sense of, I know in my own life, a sense of I could have done better. I think of a recent experience. We're in Denver and our very good friend and pastor Archbishop Chip Hugh has moved to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've been dear friends. My family moved out there at his invitation, and he's been a founding board member, and I mean, more than that. I mean, he's really been a spiritual father to me on a personal level. And when the time came to leave, there was a certain sense of, I don't think I drunk deeply enough of this relationship. And I saw him recently, and I was joking. I said, you know, you're even easier to love at a distance because I appreciate you even more. And it reminded me probably one of the most poignant moments when Michael Ann and I had the moving van loaded up, and I was saying goodbye to my parents. And in a certain sense, we're moving across the country, you know, and I realized, wow, Mom and Dad, this is going to be a game changer for the way we're going to spend time together. And to remember, I really, in a certain sense, Mom and Dad, I love you, you know, to recognize I need to say that more often than I have.
Yeah. I think that's an important part that you're bringing up about the family and the relationship with that. Us as men, sometimes we have a difficult time showing affection to one another. Mm-hmm. You know, we might do it like a handshake or something like that, but to really embrace somebody and care, we have to do that to show our younger boys this is nothing wrong with this. You know, we'll go up to the priest and, you know, our priests need to be loved. You go up and hug them. Hey, Johnny, give Father a hug. Yeah. Or we come over and then they see that and we break this chain. We have to pray. There's nothing wrong with this kind of relationship. There's nothing wrong with hugging. You guys brought up in scriptures a loving kiss. I mean, that means they hugged and kissed, you know, kissed. I mean, not intimate type of a kiss, but real affection that I really care about you. You know, when we meet, we hug one another. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. We have to make that in this society, that there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
I had to learn that, Coach. You probably had this experience when you first get into a 12-step group in recovery. Yeah, yeah. People want to hug you. It's like, you know, I don't think so. Right. You know, I just felt uncomfortable. And now it's just totally second nature. And I think, you know, men, we have to learn to love men. You guys said this in the game plan. Love is not about sex. We've sexualized this idea of love. And I had to learn to love men before I could truly learn to love women. It's love is a giving thing, you know, giving of our affection, giving of ourselves. And
you know, it's a big lesson. Honestly, you guys, I believe a lot of the reasons so many men are trapped in things like pornography and looking for affection in a lot of the wrong places. You know, and a lot of guys are living with a lot of secrets in their life. They're living feeling like I'm not lovable. No one knows me. If I do tell people who I am, I've got this image and this mask built around my life. Make believe that creates profound loneliness inside, deep loneliness. Yeah. And when Paul's saying, let your love be genuine, guys, he said, love one another affectionately from the heart. Encourage each other. Speak words of affection, you know, and show signs that you'd love and embrace. There'd be fewer people, I think, looking for, you know, counterfeit escape and affection if they had more consistently in their life the flow of the love of Christ in relationships, family relationships as brothers and sisters in the Lord.
It's a meat grinder. I mean, we have seen in our culture how, for example, in the music industry, people end up dying young because through drugs and alcohol, they just destroy themselves because you walk out on stage and you have 25,000 people loving you.
Yeah.
But you know inside, they don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
And after the lights are down, you're back alone with yourself, really hating yourself for this false sense of adulation. And what brotherly affection does is it opens up and says, I am actually not all that lovable. I'm really broken on the inside. And in the midst of that, I find a whole other level. And yes, of course I am. Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. He leads the way in loving us when we're not worthy of it. And as Christian men, we need to follow him and love our brothers, even though there's deep, ugly things in our lives. All of us, we're kidding ourselves if we don't think there are things in our lives that are just really, really nasty.
You're right on target here, because let me tell you something. There's so many hurting people out here, hurting brothers out here. But and we take ourselves many, many times too serious. And the other person doesn't get the right feel from us. You know, that we have to say, hey, man, let me tell you a little bit about myself. You think you got, here's what I've done in my life. The Lord, hey, I made a mistake. That's why they got erasers on pencils. You know, God forgives. Hey, we're not here to judge you, just like you told your brother. We're not here to judge you. We're here to help you. This life that you're living right now, you're trapped in it. Yeah. We can help you come out. You're going to have to make a commitment that you want to be out of it, first of all. But we'll help you. We'll do whatever you're going to do. Hey, don't get in here. Let's get fired up. Don't get whipped down.
It might seem uncomfortable at first. I mean, when a guy says, I love you, it's like, I would. But I have been actually asked, how do you know that? How can you say that? And I say, because I choose to. Love is a choice. It's, you know, I choose as we are loved to love.
Yeah. Jesus loves with, Scripture basically says too, Jesus loves with tenderness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, in the right kind of affection. And what Paul's after, I think, and what can help us when we have these kind of relationships working right in our life, a genuine affection, brotherly affection, affirms, I see God's good in you. I see how God values you. I see the kind of person you are. So I affirm that. I speak it. I embrace it. I show that. And what that does is it helps people remember, because we always forget. Right. We always forget who we are, you know, the dignity we have as sons and daughters of God. Easy to get down on ourselves, be discouraged, not like ourselves, hate ourselves for this, that, or the other thing.
But
and
don't you guys think sharing ourselves with one another? You know, that we talk about ourselves. We talk, how many times we've said, you know, we went and played a golf game and our wives come back and said, well, what did Bob, how's he come? Oh, we didn't get into that. Or how's his wife doing? How's the kid? Oh, we never discussed. Well, what did you talk about? He says, well, you got a new driver.
Exactly. What's the next shot?
Yeah, right.
And I do think it is harder for us guys. We tend to talk around issues.
Yeah.
And Christ is trying to say, no, it is authentically manly to do this. I came as the perfect man and loved men as a brother.
Yeah.
And I cared for them and I wept for them and I was there for them and I forgave them when they sinned against me.
Yeah.
And to be able to say, that's okay, because that's the kind of man we have to be. If I can find brothers like that, then we can conquer the world I'm going to fall, so I need some brothers to help me back up.
Absolutely.
We're blessed to have each other as brothers. We're going to be in the end zone next with the last word on brotherly affection. We hope you'll stay with us on Crossing the Goal.
across the goal line. That puts us in the end zone, and we'll get the last word on brotherly affection from our team members here. But first to our email bag. We have an email from Tom in Milwaukee. He says, I've returned to the church after an 8-year absence and feel right at home as if I had never left. With the grace of baptism, it is amazing that a person can leave the church, but that the church never leaves them. They can come back at any time. What can I do to help my brothers come back, Danny?
Well, you got to make them feel good just like you were made to feel good when you come back into the church. And a guy's not going to walk right back into the church, but he will feel comfortable coming into a small group setting. Bring him into where your friends are, into a small group setting that you have maybe in the parish. And I think that way he'll feel comfortable there, then you can bring him into the church.
It can also be helpful to invite him to places of encounter, like a conference, like a Crossing the Goal conference, where there's dynamic speakers, and you could bring a friend there. It's an environment that's not quite like the church, but it's much more open. He can be more anonymous, but also during the day, he's going to meet a lot of dynamic, fervent Catholics and other men who believe, and then he's going to be able to hear from speakers things that you hope he could hear, but maybe he's not open to hearing from you.
Yeah. The key word is invite. Yeah. Just invite. Invite them to participate. Even invite them to go to weekday mass if you think they're at that point. Danny mentioned the small groups. We have small group resources on our website. You can get the DVDs of our show at either the EWTN Religious Catalog or at crossingthegoal.com. And now you can download questions for your small group that come along with the DVD for free from our website. Let's wrap it up with the last word on brotherly affection now. Peter?
Very simply, brothers, the Lord wants you to know that He loves you with brotherly affection. You're His brother. He loves you. His love for you is unconditional. It's constant. It's unceasing. It's a torrent. And He's going to love you until He brings you home to the Father. And He looks you right in the eye and He embraces you, the King of Kings. And He tells you, I love you, my son. Welcome, inherit the kingdom of God.
No, and that's great. And flowing from that, guys, I mean, that living in the reality of that relationship, recognize that God's going to call you to be an instrument in His hands to express brotherly affection to others. And so in our family, we kind of live by a simple principle, which is give expression to your impression. Gosh, I was thinking about calling my mom. Go call your mom. I was thinking about this guy. Give him contact him and let him know, because the Holy Spirit moves us just through simple impressions. And when we give expression to our impression, we can become channels of God's brotherly affection for us.
Good curse. Men, think about this. How many true friends do you have out there? I'm not talking about fair weather friends or acquaintances. I'm talking about true friends are there through thick and thin. If you got a friend, hold on to them to the very end. You got something special there.
I have a friend who likes to say, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. So let's show some affection toward one another. We thank you for joining us for Crossing the Goal. For Coach and Curtis and Peter, I'm Brian Patrick. Next time, we'll talk about honor and humility as we continue our series on Marks of a True Christian based on Romans 12. We'll see you next time on Crossing the Goal.